From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
Radio has changed our lives and practically saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves their soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of the Strike and Spare Studios here in Nashville Sports Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches today to recap the regular season, preview the NHL playoffs, and talk all things Pecorine. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Mastrodamus will be in the second period, Chauncey Smith in the third period. We'll talk to Brian Baston with one big stat, more of a personal conversation this morning before the end of the show, and the ultimate one's going to pay some ultimate respect to one Pecorine before the end of the first period, before we hit the intermission. Remember, you can always interact with this show by giving us a follow on Twitter and hitting us up there at Renegades of Puck. You can always follow and support this radio station on Twitter, also at Nash Sports Radio on Facebook, Nashville Sports Radio. Very easy to find. Go to WNSR.com. Click on that Predneck Nation page right there. You'll see the brand new Rebirth hockey jerseys that they made for Predneck Nation Radio and the Renegades of Puck. You'll also get access to our other merchandise page and all of our previous 500-plus episodes here on Nashville Sports Radio, Predneck Nation Radio. Well over 10 years of partnership. We've been in the trenches delivering the goods for over a decade, and we are so proud to be a part of Nashville Sports Radio. While you're checking out WNSR.com, I'd also like to encourage you to download the WNSR app. That means you can take the show with you anywhere in the universe, and you can listen completely for free. WNSR is cool like that, hooking you up with ways to listen to the show 100% completely for free. Also, over the air, 560 AM and 95.9 FM all throughout Middle Tennessee, 107.9 FM. I drive through Smyrna into the borough. That signal is strong. Listening to that the other day as I was heading out doing some business. 103.9 FM also simulcasting us out of Drakesboro, Kentucky, and we sure do appreciate them. New signals coming online soon. New options for listening coming on soon. New lots of things coming on soon. If it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches here on Nashville Sports Radio. Whether that's AM or PM, it doesn't make a difference. The Renegades go where the mic time is, and we're going to handle our business morning, noon, and night here on Nashville Sports Radio. So again, thank you for jumping in the trenches with each and every one of us. And everybody out there knows a Renegade or 3 or 5 or 10, make sure they know that their hockey coverage is right here and that they have a home on Nashville Sports Radio. For 20 plus years, the audience has demanded Monday through Friday more hockey talk on the airwaves. Well, you've got it, so support it. Bring new Renegades to the trenches. Bring us new recruits and help us build this thing out and help us fulfill the mission here on Nashville Sports Radio, bringing you the best hockey coverage and doing it every day in the trenches and delivering the goods. And we hope to do it even more than just twice a day coming soon. We have ambitions here in the trenches. We wouldn't be the Renegades of Puck if we didn't. The NHL regular season for the Central Division has come to its conclusion, and your Nashville Predators have finished in fourth place. After completing the 56-game shortened schedule this season, the Predators have finished with a record of 31-23-2. They have 64 points to close out the regular season. They finished with a road record of 13-13-2, home record of 18-10-0, and they scored 156 goals for on the season. They will face off against the number one seed Carolina Hurricanes in the Central Division playoff bracket. At the completion of the regular season for the Carolina Hurricanes, they have skated 56 times, 36-12-8 is their record. They finished the regular season with 80 points, finishing 1 point ahead of the Florida Panthers in winning the Central Division. It is an impressive record on home ice for this Carolina Hurricanes team, a record of 23-5 on the road, 16-9-3, and they have scored 179 goals for on the season. But that is actually ranked third out of the four playoff teams from the Central Division. Florida Panthers have scored the most goals in the Central Division this season at 189. Tampa Bay is second at 181, and then Carolina, and then, of course, the Nashville Predators. So the 1-4 matchup is set, and I've laid that out for you. The only thing we don't know is what day they will start. We do know that games 1 and 2, of course, will take place on the road for the Nashville Predators, and games 3 and 4 will be back here at Bridgestone Arena. We are seeing new attendance numbers being set for games 3 and 4, possibly up to 12,000 plus going to be there for those games, and the number of people that have been in the building as of late have made it sound so rocking and so loud. I can't even imagine what game 3 and game 4 is going to sound like as the Nashville Predators welcome back many, many more fans as restrictions are lifted across Nashville. So the 2-3 matchup is going to be the Battle of Florida, the Panthers, and the Lightning. They wrapped up an ugly two-game set to finish out the regular season. The Florida Panthers winning last night. The Tampa Bay Lightning, are they sliding? Are they slumping? Or are they just a defending champion that's been on top so long that they got a little bit bored here towards the end of the season? They'll be locked into that 2-3 matchup, and Tampa Bay will have to go on the road for games 1 and 2. The Florida Panthers actually had a very good season against the Tampa Bay Lightning, represented themselves quite well within the division. So they finish up 80 points for Carolina, 79 for Florida, 75 for Tampa Bay, and 64 for Nashville. That lays out your final standings after the Central Division regular season schedule wrapped up just last night. Of course, this will be the last time I mention these teams, but since we are wrapping up the Central Division standings, the Dallas Stars did officially finish in fifth place, 4 points behind the Nashville Predators in your final standings. The Blackhawks finished in sixth place with 55 points, 9 points behind the Nashville Predators. Then Detroit and Columbus finished with 48 points each, Detroit holding the tiebreaker, so Columbus finishes in last place. The Columbus Blue Jackets have since parted ways with head coach John Tortorella. Of course, we'll be talking about this series between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. We will preview Game 1 intensely here over the next couple of days. But for today, I want to go back and I want to talk about everything that happened last night at Bridgestone Arena. Truly, one of the most special nights since that building was constructed. There have been so many special nights at that building and so many different events, different reasons. But for Nashville home tenant at Bridgestone Arena, the Nashville Predators, last night was without a doubt one of the most special nights that we will ever witness. It's hard to even talk about it without getting emotional, just everything about it. For the Predators, it was ultimately a meaningless game in the standings for the Carolina Hurricanes as well. The Canes clearly not looking to compete for the President's Trophy based on the lineup that they put out there last night. So they are conceding the President's Trophy to the Vegas Golden Knights, who still have two games left on the schedule. So the Carolina Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators basically rolled out the taxi squads last night and their backup goaltenders and made a go of it. And for the Nashville Predators, you wouldn't expect it to be such a high-spirited, emotional night. But it truly was. And, of course, all of that about Pekarinen. With the Preds already clinching their playoff spot the previous game, neither of these teams could improve or change their standings. So they went out there and they got after it on Bridgestone Arena ice in a night where we got to kick back and watch a living legend go to work. The Predators will be in the playoffs for the seventh consecutive time, and they'll face off Carolina. We'll have start times, we'll have dates as soon as they become available. We do know the NHL playoffs will begin on Saturday. We've already seen a couple of the Eastern Conference teams getting their start times, getting their days. So we expect more news, more information on that. The NHL regular season schedule actually will not wrap up until Sunday when Calgary finishes off the season at Vancouver. So the NHL playoffs will actually begin before the regular season officially ends. The Central Division is completely wrapped up, but if you look across the league, there are still quite a bit of games. Boston at Washington will be an important one tonight as far as seeding purposes goes. Vancouver trying to play out the stretch. Wednesday has a ton of games on the ice. Thursday has three games. Friday has two games. And then, like I said, Sunday wraps up the regular season for the NHL. For the Nashville Predators, also good news with the injury report. Olivier comes off the scratch list and gets back in the game last night. Now Victor Arvidsson is the only player that we are waiting for an update and information on. Let's go back and take a quick review of the season series, which is something we're going to be doing quite a bit over the next coming days. The Nashville Predators finished up the season series against Carolina Hurricanes with a record of 2-5-1. They picked up 5 out of 16 points, were outscored 24-17 on the season, but the two victories in the regular season series out of the 8 regular season games came in the last two games at Bridgestone Arena. Carolina did not have much to play for. They had already clinched the division, but at least in the first game, they did roll out their starters. In the second game, it was an even split. The Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes rolling out their taxi squad, which was a whole lot of Chicago Wolves players, which did lead to some rather unique and interesting circumstances. It was back on the 18th of January that Carolina beat the Preds 4-2. They followed that up with another 4-2 victory on March the 2nd. Both of those at Bridgestone Arena. Preds' first road trip to Carolina saw the Preds drop one 3-2 in overtime, and then Carolina just blew the Preds out of the rink with a 5-1 victory on the 11th of March. And we would see the 15th of April when they play again. It would be Nashville going to Carolina again and falling 4-1, then falling 3-1 to close out the road schedule of the regular season matchup between the Preds and the Carolina Hurricanes. And then, of course, the Preds would come back home and finish out the regular season schedule against the Canes with a 3-1 victory and now a 5-0 victory last night at home on what is known as Pekka-Rinne Day, Pekka-Rinne Night, a shutout. 30 out of 30. Duchesne gets two goals in the game. And for the Nashville Predators, they showed up, they showed out, and the living legend had an opportunity to really feel the love from this city. Hopefully, not for the last time. A lot of people are starting that rumor and saying that. The only thing we know factually is that he does not have a contract after this regular season. We do know that there is an offer overseas for him to complete the circle, go back to where it all began. But we also know that David Poile has said he will be speaking with Pekka-Rinne after this season. My opinion, I believe Pekka-Rinne is going to come back, and I believe he's going to serve as the Nashville Predators' backup goaltender and UC Saros' backup goaltender for, at the very minimum, one more season. I have hopes of two more seasons before he's ready to retire. The amount of love, the amount of respect, and the amount of positivity he brings to this franchise and to this city, I just simply cannot see the Nashville Predators letting him walk away or him honestly wanting to walk away. Why would you want to leave? I mean, so much love. It was amazing. Still feeling it this morning. So for the Nashville Predators, Carolina Hurricanes, they will start a best-of-seven series coming up more than likely this weekend. Start times, dates, all to come shortly. Let's go back and recap last night. I've hinted around enough about what happened with Pekka-Rinne on Pekka-Rinne Day in the Nashville Predators' final home game of the regular season. Game number 8 against the Carolina Hurricanes all the way back on May the 10th of the year 2021. Yep, that was yesterday. Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne, Grimaldi, Pitlick, and Tolvanen, Cousins, Richardson, and Olivier, Trennan, McCarron, and Janot. We told you we would probably see a lot of starters out of the lineup getting an opportunity to get some rest, and that is exactly what you are seeing right there. Ferentz and Fabro would be your top D pair. Gudbranson and Benning, Davies and Lewington would make up your defensive pairings. And Pekka-Rinne, of course, getting the start in net at Bridgestone Arena for the final regular season game. 1:40 into the game, and Pekka-Rinne's got a save on Bean off of some slick passing on a rush. At 1:58, Lewington's off to the box, 2 minutes for cross-checking. We'd see Rocco Grimaldi, who's back in the lineup, getting his 10th goal of the season. It's a shorthanded goal. Grimaldi on the back check, pressures Aho into a turnover, then gets the puck, outraces everybody, finishes, and begins to make his case to John Hines why he deserves an opportunity to skate in the first round of the NHL playoffs. Shorthanded goal is 10th of the season, gives the Preds a 1-0 lead early in the game over the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina, though, does still have a power play. Preds PK goes to work and gives up 0 shots over the final minute of that power play. At 4:29, we'd see Matt Duchesne get his 5th goal of the season. Johansson's pass to Trennan in the slot. Tip pass over to Duchesne. He pulls it all the way across the top of the crease and tucks the puck into the net. Some slick hands right here and just keeping that puck on a string. Duchesne's 5th gives the Preds a 2-goal lead on home ice. At 5:59, we see McCormick go off to the box. 2 minutes for cross-checking for the Carolina Hurricanes. Outstanding zone time possession for the Preds. Tolvanen would even get a couple of shot attempts, but the Preds would be unable to convert at 8:58. Trennan off to the box. 2 minutes for high sticking. Rinne comes up with a glove save on Neches. Another really strong PK for this Nashville Predators team. Going up against one of the top power play units in the entire NHL, that is good news. 11:58 of the first period, Rinne comes up with a save on Geeky, sliding across to the back post. Another highly impressive save for Pekka-Rinne. 13:56, we'd see Lewington and McCormick go at it. 5 minutes each for them. For the former Wolves teammates, now NHL rivals in the Central Division. 19:09 in the first, Rinne comes up with a save on Niederreiter, Gudbranson, Benning, protect the house, push everybody away from the crease. And again, that is something I need to see from the Nashville Predators on a regular basis. We hit the end of the first period, President 2-goal lead and out shooting Carolina 12-10. 107 of the second. Rene save on Aho's deflection. Much trickier save than it might have indicated or forced. Look, go back and check that thing out on the slow-mo replay and see how Rene's tracking and concentration is top-notch on this play. 4:19 of the second period. Duchesne's got a 6-goal of the season. The Preds have a 3-0 lead. It's a delayed call. Duchesne comes off the bench as the extra skater, and he finishes from the side of the net. Good job. Good awareness by everybody on the Nashville Predators right here, and they convert with the extra skater on the ice. The Nashville Predators now hold a 3-0 lead over the Carolina Hurricanes on home ice. We hit the 4:59 spot of the second period. Ferentz goes to the net hard for a good chance. Nobody challenged him as he took it all the way in from the blue line right to the top of the crease for an excellent scoring chance. I really see a bright future for Ferentz. 6:27, Rene comes up with a save on Faust's redirect, plus his rebound attempt, plus his jam attempt. Maybe Rene's best sequence of the game to this point. 9:13, Rene comes up with another save on Natchez at 10:08. Olivier off the box 2 minutes for elbowing. We'd see Rene come up with a huge save on Teravainen on this power play, but then we'd see Sebastian Aho take a slashing penalty in the offensive zone on Benning. We'd see a 4-on-4 for 59 seconds, and about 1 second after it flipped to the Nashville Predators power play, Ryan Johansson would convert with the 7th goal of the season, giving the Nashville Predators a 4-0 lead. It was Forsberg's pass from the corner to the low slot, and Johansson finishing. Johansson was playing a big body, strong, physical, first-line center game in this game, and I sure hope that is just a preview and an indicator of what we are going to see against the Canes coming up in the first round. Preds 4-0 on home ice over the Carolina Hurricanes. 12-12, Martinuk's off the box, 2 minutes for a high sticking. We'd see multiple chances near the end of the power play at close range, but the Preds could not convert. 15-31, Rene save on Shore's backhand off of the rush. 16-45, Trocheck picks up an elbowing penalty on Ferentz. 19-52, Rene comes up with a save on Aho's long shot. We see a pretty big scrum here at the end of the second period, which led to a whole bunch of confusion. Ultimately, what it ends up being is Carolina is going to come out of this thing with a 2-minute power play to start the third period. Nobody truly understood what had happened. A whole bunch of roughing minors were giving out, and Gudbranson, for some reason, was given 4 minutes on this. I really had difficulty, just like it seemed the head coach of the Nashville Predators, John Hines, just had difficulty understanding how the calls broke down, and whatever. It works out to the Carolina Hurricanes. They'll start the third period on the power play, but at the end of the second period, Preds have a 4-0 lead on home ice and are out shooting the Carolina Hurricanes 22-20. So we start with a clean sheet and a power play for the Carolina Hurricanes, and that's when Janot goes to work getting the Nashville Predators' second shorthanded goal of the game. Listen to this. He just wins a battle in the neutral zone, builds the wall going through the offensive zone, and beats Mrazek. You tell me this guy is not going to be on the playoff roster, I may attempt to fight you. Nashville Predators have a 5-0 lead over the Carolina Hurricanes, and Janot is just, again, every time he's on the ice, he is doing something high impact to help his Nashville Predators team win. 1:57 of the third period. Rene has to come up with a save on Lawrence plus the jam attempt, and that leads to a scrum. This is a power play scoring attempt for the Carolina Hurricanes. After the Nashville Predators gain their second shorthanded goal, Carolina goes back to work on the power play, and Rene comes up very strong. 7:11, Rene comes up with a big-time save on Geeky off an impressive rush by the Carolina Hurricanes. And at this point, I'm going to tell you guys, I just kicked back, and I watched Pekka Rene work for a little while. I did. I just wanted to sit back and enjoy it. No notes. No nothing. I just wanted to enjoy watching a living legend. And I did. Down the stretch, Tolvanen would hit a post around 16:31, and we would see the Nashville Predators close this thing out at 5-0. Pekka Rinne, 30 saves on 30 shots against. The Nashville Predators would finish the game with 27 shots on goal. Is there anything better than what we saw last night? How do you not love that guy? It's going to be a lot of Pekka Rinne love the rest of the show. It must be. It deserves to be. He's a living legend, and he's a Hall of Famer, and we were treated to one of the most special nights. And who knows what that night can do as far as the game itself. It was a meaningless game to wrap up a regular season between two teams that will face off against each other in the first round. There's not going to be any serious carryover from this. The Carolina Hurricanes are going to have several days off now to get themselves ramped up, get ready, flip that switch. And I fully expect that they're going to do that. Yes, the Nashville Predators defeated the Carolina Hurricanes 2 games in a row at home. One of them was very special and highly emotional. One of them, they clinched their playoff spot. but I'm not going to take these two victories as an indication that the Nashville Predators are suddenly going to go into this best of seven series and just run all over the Carolina Hurricanes. There is still an incredibly tall mountain to climb in front of this Nashville Predators team. But if they can seize the emotion, if they can seize the momentum, the confidence that they've been able to build, and if UC Soros can continue to play the way he's played the second half of the season, the Carolina Hurricanes are in for hockey trench warfare. And this Nashville Predators team is going to bring it to them.
So very, very few times in my career have I ever dropped the gimmick for a set period of time when putting on the public face. And most of the time, all of the time, that's surrounded something sad, but something that deserves respect. And I believe that this is one of those times. As of right now, we don't know. We don't know if this is it. We don't know if he'll come back for another year. But everybody has their suspicions. Everybody has their reasons. He has his reasons. But let me tell you, 2008 seems like so long ago. And I know that we've had a tremendous string of goalies that came prior to Pekka, but none of them were Pekka. And it just seems like Pekka always was and always will be. It just is. Nobody plays that position better than Pekka Rinne. When Pekka is on his game, he is an absolute wall. He has given more to this city and this team than we will ever, ever know. Everybody in Nashville who's a hockey fan, hell, even some who aren't, have a Pekka Rinne story to tell. So really, right now, what it all boils down to, and Charlie, get that dump button ready, is what we need to do as a team and as a fan base is get that man his cup. And that means there's one thing left to do, and that is win the whole thing.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Predneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm Pekka Rinne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. Pekka Rinne bringing us back from break. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Welcome back into the trenches on Nashville Sports Radio. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. As long as this show exists, that rejoin will always be used. I don't care if Pekka Rinne is an active NHL player or not. He is a living legend. He is on the Mount Rushmore of Tennessee sports athletes, especially on the professional side of things. And he's one of the greatest we've ever had the opportunity to watch play live and in person. And what a special night at Bridgestone Arena as he gets his 60th shutout of his career. That is 19th all-time in NHL history. Also with the 369th win of his career, that ties him for 19th all-time in NHL history with Tom Barrasso. 30 saves last night. Highly impressive effort for the Nashville Predators living legend netminder, and here to talk to me about that performance, that emotional night at Bridgestone Arena, and all things Nashville Predators hockey is, of course, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation, Moskar Adamus. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. You can listen to him on this radio show in the second period all season long. Moskar Adamus, you got a chance to see that game last night. What an emotional night for Pekka Rinne. I just laid out the numbers. You take me through it as a goaltender. Tell me what you saw, because I thought he was on top of his game last night.
We almost forget when you have UC Saros playing for so many consecutive games that what Pekka Rinne does. And as soon as he goes out there, he makes that first glove save. And the first time he smothers the puck with his glove along the ice, which is still the only goaltender I've ever known in history to be able to do that. If that was his final performance, what a show he put on. And everyone knows the situation. There's no contract for next season. That emotion was palpable. The energy in the crowd, the attendance was 40%, whatever the attendance was. You felt something special in the arena. And for him to put on that kind of performance is very fitting. I had a friend of mine actually text me wondering, hey, I'm thinking about putting a bet on this game right now. The Preds are 1.5 goal underdogs. So I said, they're playing a lot of different guys out there, but if it's Pecorine and Net, I get the feeling they're going to play pretty strong for him. So couldn't have gone any more fitting if that was his last performance on home ice. But 369 career victories, you said the Tides, Tom Barrasso. And Tom Barrasso played behind Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr at their peak to get those victories as well. So that shows you the kind of status Pecorine has. Luongo, Lundqvist, and Hasek are the only goaltenders on that top 20 list that have a better save percentage than Pecorine. And Brodeur, Jacques Plante, and Dominic Hasek are the only ones with a better goals against out of those top 20. So it's not a matter of Pecorine and we're being homers and that's like we're overestimating his brilliance. No. He is that damn good. And he is not only a first ballot Hall of Fame person, as you said, but he absolutely is a first-ballot Hall of Fame NHL goaltender.
Got to see a living legend last night, Mastrodamus, on the ice at Bridgestone Arena, and you could tell, as you said, there was a sense of something special happening every single time he touched the puck last night. The crowd erupted. It was awesome. This is a hockey town, Mastrodamus. When they can appreciate something like that the way that they did, nobody can ever take that away from this city. Nobody, I will never put up with disrespect for this city when it comes to the way they treat their hockey team, their hockey players, and the way that hockey is played here in Nashville. We'll have so much more time to talk about that. It was an incredibly special night with Pecorine getting his 369th career win, his 60th shutout, and getting one great last performance on Bridgestone Arena ice. That lap he took where he was touching his heart and telling the fans he loved him so much. If he had stayed out there for five more hours doing that, not a fan in the building would have gone home. Mosh, let's talk about a couple other things from that game last night, because the Nashville Predators do need to start getting ready and looking forward to this best of seven against the Carolina Hurricanes and do that moving forward. But Matt Duchene is going to be critically important this first round series. We need him to get hot, and last night he at least started that. Some slick hands and some great movement right in close by the net. Two goals, three shots on net, 15:42 and time on ice. If Duchene can play like that over a best of seven against Carolina, the Nashville Predators are in a very good place.
He's going to be absolutely critical. And before his arrival to Nashville, he's always been, let's say always been, he hasn't been to Flyers that often, but when he was with Columbus, he was an absolute megastar in Columbus for their stretch when they upset Tampa Bay in the first round and moving forward after that. We've seen it on occasion where he can stick handle in a phone booth and he makes plays that no other player on this team can make. A matter of finishing those chances that has been his issue. He has six goals all season, and four of them came in two games. Last night, and he had two goals against Florida in that wild 6-5 game earlier this season back in February. So aside from that, he has scored two goals in the other 32 games he's played in. That's not good enough for on any level. He's got to be more of what we saw last night. I don't know if John Hines was tinkering around with lines. Of course, with the lineup he threw out there, does he possibly see, Duchene, Forsberg, Johansson, that seemed to kind of work pretty well. Let me try them, and maybe you try Granlund with Tolvanen and Yarncroak or somebody like that as a second line as well. So certainly some options for John Hines if things don't go well. Early on in that series, he can jumble some lines up. But Matt Duchene, much better performance, and hopefully that does carry over into the playoffs.
Last night was a night of healthy competition for the Nashville Predators. A lot of guys coming back from injury, including Olivier. Great to see him back on the lineup, getting his opportunity to try out for the playoff roster. But, Mosh, a lot of guys making it very difficult for John Hines. He's going to have some tough decisions later this week. Janot with a shorthanded goal plus an assist also adds four hits. We know what he's brought to the lineup since coming in. Going to be very difficult to tell him he's not going to be a part of this moving forward. Rocco Grimaldi, of course, has been on the outside looking in. Some impressive wheels from him last night. If he wants to make his case to play against the speedy Carolina Hurricanes team to his head coach, well, he did that last night. A lot of other difficult decisions for John Hines coming up, but let's just focus on last night. Grimaldi with a goal, Janot with a goal, both shorthanded. Johansson also a goal and an assist, and overall it was a pretty good night for this Nashville Predators forward grouping that was made up mostly of the taxi squad.
Grimaldi is one that everybody's pointing back to. It's like, well, he doesn't really fit the mold of this identity that the team has built. Obviously, he's a smaller guy, speedy guy. But you know what? Every time he comes back into the lineup for being a healthy scratch, he seems to score a goal. So he's definitely making it difficult for John Hines to keep him out of the lineup. And, of course, you can only dress 20 guys, so it's limited as far as who can go out there on a nightly occasion. Nick Cousins didn't get on the score sheet, but Nick Cousins is the type of guy that, you know what? You want him in the playoffs. He's an instigator. He gets under guys' skin. He drew a penalty last night by getting in somebody's face, took a punch in the face, drew a penalty on that. So he's a guy that can certainly come in, give you 12, 13 minutes, get under the other team's skin, and be a tone setter for the rest of the series. But Olivier, he started the Hurd line, and then he got hurt. and then enter Tanner Janot. And, of course, Tanner Janot is not going anywhere. He's got 5 goals since his entry into the lineup. He was tearing it up in Chicago earlier this season. And, of course, he's showing it right now, 5 goals in 15 games this season. So he's been absolutely fantastic. A lot of difficult decisions for John Hines as far as who he's going to put in there. And likewise, of course, for Rod Brindamore as well in Carolina.
Mosh, very few regulars were on the D-Corps last night. Dante Fabro is out there taking the lead, 22-33, and Tom Ice also picks up an assist. Great to see him back off the injured list and back out there on the ice. Of course, he'll be part of the Nashville Predators playoff roster, but this was an opportunity just to get him some significant minutes to get him ramped back up to full game speed. So for the Nashville Predators, we saw a D-Corps of Benning, Davies, Fabro, Ferentz, Gudbranson, and Lewington, just as we anticipated, Mostradamus. But you got to give him credit. The Nashville Predators got a shutout last night, and this D-Corps came together and played a very effective game.
I call them the BU pros. You have Ferentz and Fabro out there playing over 22 minutes each, by far and away leading the team in ice time. That was good to see them out there. I know Fabro probably disappointed. He came back after injury one game, and then, boom, he's out of the lineup again on Saturday. I didn't like his performance Saturday, personally, myself, so maybe that's why you had John Hines take him out of the lineup. But, of course, this game was all about getting some guys some ice time, and I do love like when I saw David Ferentz in there. He certainly seems to have some upside, especially offensively. Some turnovers that you'd like to do away with, but again, this was a glorified exhibition game. Let's be quite honest with the lineups that were back out there. You saw a lot of mistakes, but doesn't matter at this point. The game was glorified exhibition game, so we'll see what happens from here on out. Taxi squad, you get some ice time under you, and get some of the frustrations that you have that some of the guys that don't get to play and some healthy competition, as you mentioned.
He is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio. You can find him on Twitter, at GreekGoalie35. He joins me on this radio show in the second period all season long, and he's a man so far ahead in the future. He's already told you everything that's going to happen with the Nashville Predators. He joined me on the FNM Bank phone line today, and of course, he is Mostradamus. Appreciate you so much, my friend.
Charlie, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Mostradamus right there. You heard from the Ultimate One. Now you'll hear from Sean C. Smith from OnTheForeCheck.com. He's coming up next right here on Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in. Predneck Nation Radio here on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie. Sonny Matt Duchesne bringing us back from break. 2 goals last night in the Nashville Predators 5-0 victory over the Carolina Hurricanes to wrap up the regular season. Big night for Pekka Rinne as he records his 369th career win. Tied for 19th all-time in NHL history. Now, here to talk to me about that, Matt Duchesne, and all things Nashville Predators hockey. He is from OnTheForeCheck.com, and you can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. Going out to the FNM Bank phone line to talk to Sean C. Smith. How are you doing today, my friend?
No, Charlie, I'm fired up, and I'm ready to go.
What an emotional night at the rink last night, Sean. We rarely get to experience things like that when it comes to the world of professional sports. So very special to get to share that with each and every one of you Renegades of Puck and to share that with all of the Predators fans and everyone across the hockey universe. Even NHL Network was doing a nice, special, lengthy replay of the save opportunities and for Pekka Rinne. Want to talk about a couple of things with you, Sean. We saw the future play last night. I could go ahead and list off the names, but of course, Janot is already a part of that future. We saw McCarron. We saw Olivier. We saw Pitlick. We saw Tolvanen. We saw Trennan, Davies, Ferentz, Lewington. We saw all of them out there on the ice last night. Some call it a glorified exhibition, but for those players, it was an opportunity to try out for John Hines and the Nashville Predators' future.
Yeah, you know, last night the Predators made the obvious move to rest a lot of their starters, and while this did serve one purpose, as a chance to give some guys a well-deserved night off after a grueling and punishing schedule during the regular season, it also served another purpose, and like you said, that was giving the rest of the players on the roster a chance to play. But it wasn't just a chance to play, but a chance to try out for a position in the playoff lineup. Coach Hines said after the game that the Game 1 roster was mostly set, but there were still some spots that had yet to be determined. And you saw a lot of guys playing for spots in the postseason lineup or making a case for their consideration as the next man up if the need arises. And I'd be willing to say that you saw a lot of performances that helped solidify those postseason plans, but you also saw a lot of rookies on the ice that were giving you a glimpse into the future of the team. And, of course, you just went through and named them all off, and these are all young guys that look to be fixtures on this team many years into the future, not just in the playoffs. And I don't know about you, Charlie, but what I saw makes me pretty excited about the future.
No doubt about it. And we didn't even get to see Philip Tomasino, which, of course, is one of the most impressive young prospects with this Nashville Predators organization. So even more wealth in the cupboard to come. Let's talk about the centers last night. I've talked a lot about Matt Duchene. He helped bring us back from break here on Predneck Nation Radio as well. But Ryan Johansson seemed to be on a whole nother level, channeling that big body top line center that we remember from the 2017 playoffs against a couple of those Central Division rivals. But overall, the centers last night, Sean, they were really showing out for us.
Matt Duchene scored two goals. Ryan Johansson came away with one. And like you were saying about Johansson, you know, these are guys that should be a threat to score on any given night. And as much as I don't like bringing this up, their salaries make it very hard to overlook a lack of production. But last night was exactly what you want to see out of those two dynamic centers. Both players scored their goals up front and in the face of the goalie. It's exactly what you want to see out of your first and second line center. You want these guys to bring the puck in, feed it to a line mate, then head to the front of the net to wait for a rebound or to screen the goalie. And we all know that Ryan Johansson has a tendency to take a big step up in his play when the playoffs roll around. His line in the qualifying round last season was arguably one of the best on the ice. But one of the most notable changes last night was Duchene's move to the center position after playing on the wing and being on the second line at that. The argument has been that if you put Duchene next to players of a similar caliber, you'll get a much different result than you'd get if you put him deeper in the lineup. And it's hard to argue with the results from last night. But I also recall a very favorable line combination that involved Matt Duchene centering Philip Forsberg and Mikael Granlund. And I would not be opposed to seeing that line reunited in the postseason at some point.
Not at all. And if Victor Arvidsson is back, Arvidsson, Tolvanen, and Johansson, there you go. We've solved a lot of things already. Let's talk about the fourth line, because I love talking about that fourth line, the Stampede line, as we talk about it on this show, because they just put another player on there last night, and it just continues on rolling. Last night, it was Trennan, McCarron, and Janot. Olivier back in the lineup, getting a chance to skate on the third line. But, Sean, we've talked about it ever since the Herd line. The Stampede line has become a thing. They just set the tone. They set the pace, and they were doing it again last night, even with yet another interchangeable part.
I love this line. And if you look back to the game on Saturday, the fourth line played first line minutes at even strength. And I know a lot of minutes on Saturday went to other guys on the power play, but every period Saturday started with that Stampede line and saw them come out and set the tone for the period in the game. And if you look at what I've said, the game plan is for the series, there's no one else that wears down the edges off of opposing teams like the guys on this fourth line. Now, why is this line? This is what we need to look at here. Playing a heavy game, bringing so much success to the team where players like Cody McLeod, someone who it was argued could do the rough edge sanding for you, was typically being relegated to making people smile in the locker room. Every guy on this line is playing a role. In a Russian language interview with Yakov Trennan, Trennan discussed how he was playing the style of hockey the team wanted him to play in Nashville. Trennan is a skilled player, but he's also large and tough as nails, and he's leaning into that aspect of his game. Tanner Janot came from the AHL as a scoring leader on his team and had one of the highest point totals in the league at the time that he left. And, of course, I have to point out that Janot scored a goal last night. You know, these aren't your typical sandpaper guys, but skilled players that can play with an edge. They aren't out there to give the other lines a rest, but to set the tone and pace for the game. That simple shift in dynamic means that you have a line that can hurt you not just along the boards, but on the scoreboard as well.
And what we're going to see is that line is going to make an investment in the physical portion of this lineup coming forward in the best of seven against the Carolina Hurricanes. It's one of those classic styles that they talk about. Hit them, wear them down, and towards the end of the series, they'll have nothing left. But we'll have plenty of time to preview and break that down and talk about the philosophy, how the Preds are going to approach the upcoming series against the Carolina Hurricanes. But you said something about line identity in there right there, Sean, and I want to go ahead and follow up with that. With the fourth line starting as much as they have, starting games, starting periods, they're setting the tone, they're setting the pace, they're setting the attitude. And then the next line is coming and mirroring exactly what the fourth line is doing. And it's getting to a point now, Sean, where the lines are almost indistinguishable. They're changing in the middle of cycles. They're keeping those intense shifts up. And there is no change. The physical play continues from the fourth line to the first line and well beyond. So line identity, next man up, all of that. The Nashville Predators are all moving in the same direction. Or as they used to say here, they're all pulling on the rope the same way.
Yeah, you know, the next man up mentality is something that Hines has talked about a lot. He explained that the idea behind it wasn't just about who's going to be the next guy to play, but who could come in and play to the identity of the line that had an opening. And we talked a little bit before about how each player has their own core set of skills, but the purpose of programs like the Milwaukee Admirals is that every guy goes through Milwaukee and adds layers to their game to give them a complete set of skills. Hines chooses the individual based on the role that needs to be filled on the ice. Line identity must be maintained, even last night with the fourth line. Again, Colton Sissons sat out, and McCarron filled his spot. And this isn't me saying that McCarron and Sissons are the same type of player, because that's not the case. But the style of hockey the fourth line is playing is what Coach Hines is trying to maintain. McCarron came in and filled that role well by bringing a physical edge to the game while forechecking aggressively without the puck as well. But also getting to the net when his team had the puck and trying to make things happen up front. This is the next man up concept as Hines sees it. The team should maintain the same identity regardless of who's on the ice, like you said, and each individual line should maintain the same identity regardless of who's playing on it. You want to know why the team looked like a hungry team last night? That's because the identity of this team is a hungry team and a team that's willing to go hard in the corners and along the boards and make the opposition earn every inch of ice they gain. That's what you see on the ice every night. You've got a team that's hard to play against and a team that's giving themselves the best chance to win.
That's the perfect word to describe what I saw out of the Nashville Predators last night. They look like a hungry team. I'm looking forward to see that continuing into the first round of the best of seven against the Carolina Hurricanes. He's Sean C. Smith from ontheforecheck.com. He joins me right here on the F&M Bank phone line, the third period of each and every episode of Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Again, you can find his work at ontheforecheck.com. You should be following him on Twitter at SCSOTF. He's got the intel that you need to know, and he talks to the people that we need to be hearing from. Sean, appreciate you jumping in the trenches so much today.
Anytime you need me, Charlie, I'll be ready to go.
You've heard from Sean C. Smith. You've heard from Mostradamus. You've heard from the Ultimate One. And well, me, I'm facilitating the offense from all angles. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Brian Baston's coming up next. He was at the arena last night, and I'm going to back off from the normal one big snap format with Brian. I just want to hear him talk about being there last night on Pekka Rinne night at Bridgestone Arena. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonnier. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Rocco Grimaldi bringing us back from break right here on Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trench with the Renegades of Puck. It's 5 o'clock on your clock. The Renegades are on the radio right here in Nashville Sports Radio. Rocco, making it very difficult for the head coach of the Nashville Predators to pick exactly who is going to get to play game one against the Carolina Hurricanes after what he did last night. Some sick wheels by Rocco Grimaldi and the Nashville Predators. Here to talk to me and wrap up the show today is Brian Bass. Normally, I say we go to the Renegade Analytics desk and we go to one big stat, but Brian was in the house last night. He experienced the emotion firsthand, and that's all I want to know about today. It was Pekka Rinne Day at Bridgestone Arena, and the living legend comes up huge with the shutout, tying 19th all-time career wins, 19th all-time in shutouts. Brian, you were there last night. Just give me a couple of minutes. Take me through that emotional evening at Bridgestone Arena.
Well, thanks, Charlie. Let me tell you, yesterday was something special, something unlike anything I've ever witnessed in any sporting event I've ever been to in my life. And really, to be honest, unlike really anything I've ever seen just in that type of arena, if you pardon the pun. Yeah, I got there a little earlier than normal last night, and I knew it was going to be special from the moment that I left my office. I could see people about 5-6 blocks away where my office is downtown, and I probably saw at least 30 jerseys with that number 35 on the back. Just getting in my car and heading over to the arena, and it was no different walking in. I think the thing that got me going yesterday was a little kid, probably, I don't know, maybe 7, 8, probably not much older than my oldest daughter. And he was wearing Pekka Rinne jersey and had a hat that said something about Pekka Rinne on it. And he was in shambles going into the game. I don't think he was ready. And I think that little boy probably represented every single one of us on the inside as we were going in, because he was not prepared for this game to be what it was. And I don't think anybody else in that building was either. there was something special in the air, and I mentioned that yesterday during the game that Bridgestone felt different. And yes, you know, they've moved us up to 40%, and I can't tell you how excited I am to see this team get to play next week, probably with 12,000 people in the stands. That's going to be just unreal after a season of, you know, I mean, my first game had zero fans in the stands, and now, you know, last night it felt like the capacity was about 50,000 last night by the end of it. But it was something special to see Pecorine. I think every save, that very first glove save, I think Greg talked about this earlier, that very first glove save was as decisive of a glove save I've ever seen. There was no getting past Pekka last night. We saw a little bit of everything that we've grown to love with him. We saw a little bit of you know, Pekka's adventures when he ventures outside of his crease and just does a little bit extra, and he, you know, it was flawless. We saw him stay at home and snag stuff out of the air. We saw him, you know, stop four shots in a row, you know, giving up a little bit of a rebound, but it just made every single save after that even more spectacular. And I don't know that there was anybody in that arena that was ready to – that really thought they were going to see a goal allowed by Rene. And, you know, let's give credit where it's due. The team last night was phenomenal. And, yes, and we've mentioned several times this morning that, you know, the players weren't gonna let this game go any other way. But the amount of effort, I mean, I David Ferenc was probably one of my favorite moments last night, where, you know, Pecorine, he made a stop and he immediately gave the puck up as Ferenc was coming back to kind of circle back behind the net. But you can tell as a rookie, I mean, this kid's was playing college hockey last year. He didn't really realize that Pecs was gonna give him the puck right back, and as soon as the whistle blew, Ferenc went speeding back to Rene to be like, I'm very sorry, I missed that thing. And immediately Rene just, he, you know, he brought him in, he gave him a little hug and patted him on the head. And he's like, don't worry about it. And that was pretty indicative of what we saw last night. We saw every single player putting their heart on the ice for Pekka Rene, players that have spent the whole career playing with him. Like we saw with Johansson, who, I don't know, probably gave Pecorine about 30 hugs after the game was over, to guys like Ferenc and Matt Duchene, who have been here just a little bit of time. And Matt Duchene said in his press conference after the game that Pecorine is one of his favorite teammates he's ever played with, which is, you know, is really big praise from somebody who's been around for a long time and it's been around for a few different teams. And you know, that team stepped up in such a big way. I know I said it probably wouldn't do any stats, but this team, you know, they only allowed about a goal and a half of expected goals against. The defense was tremendous. Four out of the five goals that they scored were right there in the crease. They were going to give Mrazek the worst time they possibly could, and they accomplished that. And what a feeling that has to be for Pecorine, knowing in the back of his head that this could be his last game.
Brian, I hate to cut you off right there. We have 15 seconds left in the show, and we're going to run out of time. The heartbreak is the heartbreak. For Sean C. Smith, for Mastrodamus, for the Ultimate One, and for Brian Baston, I am your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. You've been listening to the Renegades of Puck here on Nashville Sports Radio. Stick, tap, love, respect.